Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's the new experiment. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Push that button. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Global Happiness Specialist, Inner Peace Practitioner, Oracle Teacher, but more importantly, a student. Don't think that I'm not practicing 24/7, because if I'm claiming to be a happiness specialist, how dare she? Who the hell does she think she is? It's impossible to be happy all the time. Let me just be very clear and give you my definition and my perspective about this thing called happiness. When I say happiness, let me just give you my definition. My definition of happiness is the ability to vibrate an energy of peace and contentment, regardless of what happens, regardless of the blind side the life throws at me, regardless of all of that, regardless of the ups and the downs, regardless of the judgments, regardless of all of it, regardless of the programmed behaviors, the program thoughts. Wow, that sure is a long definition. The ability to be at peace and vibrate contentment regardless of what happens. And regardless of what doesn't happen. Regardless of what happens, regardless of what doesn't happen. Just to be a vibration of peace. Not just, to be a vibration of peace, to be an example of a vibration of peace. How many people are doing that? Let me just, without the humor too, let me just say this. I do not pretend to have all the answers. I do not pretend to have the only perspective. What I can share with you, what I do share, is what has worked for me. What has worked for me over 4 plus decades of studying this thing called happiness. And you know it, and I know it, that happiness has nothing to do with what happens. Happiness has nothing to do with accomplishments, goal achievement, nothing. Happiness, this happiness, inner peace, this contentment that I'm talking about, is all internal. It's an internal game. And one of the reasons, well, this is what I found, one of the reasons why it's so challenging, difficult. A lot of people, not really interested. Not really interested. Oh, there's got to be more on your, let's see, five most, let me back up a little bit. Of the things that you prioritize, my dear listeners, of what you prioritize, is contentment even on the list? I'm just asking. And one of the studies that I always cite at the beginning of this show, and I'll be doing it forever, well, maybe not forever, is a study done by hospice nurse. You can Google it. It's called The 5 Most Common Regrets of the Dying. The 5 Most Common Regrets of the Dying. And I don't know about you, but people that have one foot in the grave, I'm going to listen to, I think that what they have to say is going to be powerful. And so these people had weeks to live, days to live, months to live, and these five most common regrets kept coming up over and over and over again. And so the hospice nurse, Bronnie Ware, she wrote a book about it, The Five Most Common Regrets of the Dying. Again, you can Google it. You know, I always just get shot out of a cannon, and I neglect to say, if you want to contact me or if you want to call in, the number here at Blog Talk Radio is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619, and or if you're listening on Wisdom, welcome, and you can also ask to join the show. But here we go, the five most common regrets of the dying. And if I lead it off every show, that's what I'm going to do. The five most common regrets of the dying. Number one, I wish I would have pursued my dreams and aspirations and not the life others expected of me. I wish I pursued my dreams and aspirations and not the life others expected of me. I spoke with one of my best friends. I lived in a very small town in Oregon for almost 5 years, all by myself in the middle of a forest. It was my 40 days and 40 nights. Not 40 days, 40 years and 40 years. That's what it felt like, 40 years. I had two best friends. One of them has died. But this one, I call him Mountain Man. And I spoke with him last night, and this man, he's in his mid-60s now. And when I asked him, what did he do? What did you do today? What did you do yesterday? It's the same, usually the same. Sitting outside, watching the river flow, and fishing. This man gets so much enjoyment out of fishing. Fishing is number one. He told me this years ago. Fishing is number two. I mean, fishing is number one. What's the other one? Okay. Fishing is number one. Women are number two. And then, of course, enjoying himself, meaning whatever, a beer, something to smoke. That's it. This is the simplest man and one of the most contented people that I've ever met. If somebody would say to him that fishing is a waste of time, or if you're fishing every single day, you know the program. You got to do something. You have to be productive. No, this guy could just sit outside camping, fishing, hunting. Yeah, that's where he gets his most enjoyment. I learned so much about that, but anyway, I digress. That was number one. I wish I would pursue my dreams and aspirations and not the life others expected. And I'm telling you, Mountain Man I'm not going to say rare, but I learned so much from him, being okay with just doing what pleases him in the moment. Number two. Here we go. I wish I didn't work so hard. Of the five most common regrets of the dying, number two is I wish I didn't work so hard. Enough said. Number three, I wish I had the courage to express my feelings and speak my mind. Number four, I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends. And I always say that sometimes we just outgrow people. Not sometimes, a lot of times. And in fact, if you are growing, The fall off to that is you're outgrowing people. That's just what happens. And then the last one is I wish I would have let myself be happier. I wish I would have been happier. And so that's why for me, this topic, this intention, this agenda of happiness, and again, it is a vibration. It is a vibration. It is a state of mind. It is a state in mind. This contentment becomes an identity, feeling, being at peace with wherever I am, with whatever's going on, with whatever my ego will tell me, something's off, something needs to be changed. No, this present moment isn't enough. The good news is, my dear audience, the good news is happiness is a practice skill. Inner peace is a practice skill. Contentment is a practice skill. And if I can do it, so can you. I want to talk a little bit about current, this is just really brief, current event. And it's about the Twitter, Elon Musk, and taking away the blue check marks. You know, those blue check marks that only a few of us can have. What an interesting experiment. How many people, and I have no answer to this, but how many people are attached to that blue check mark, or attached to a title, or attached to a position, or attached to a human programmed identity? I don't know if you, I actually have this book. I saved it. I have all my Dr. Seuss books. When I was a little girl, Dr. Seuss. And I'm holding it in my hand. I had it in my bookcase. And if you read it, it's about, well, it's a few stories. But the first story is about the Sneetches. S-N-E-E-T-H-E-S. The Sneetches. And I'm not going to bore you with the whole story, but it was, I'm not going to read the whole story. You know, when my son was younger, and you know, you read the stories to your, when I was reading the stories to him before he went to bed, he loved to have the story read. And sometimes the stories were just too long. That was my impatience. Too long. And so I skipped a few pages. And if he was familiar with the story, Mom, you skipped some pages. I know. So this is a pretty long story, but the lesson about the Sneetches is there were some Sneetches that had stars on their they called them bellies, stars on their bellies, and there were some Sneetches that didn't have the stars, and so of course the Sneetches that had the stars felt special, felt entitled, felt better, felt different than those Sneetches without stars, you know, those low-life Sneetches, poo-poo on them. And sure enough, while the Sneetches that didn't feel good about themselves because they didn't have a star posted on their belly, there came a very, I'm going to say entrepreneur, that's right. An entrepreneur, what was his name? His name was Sylvester McMonkey McBean. Hello, friends. My name is Sylvester McMonkey McBean. And Mr. Sylvester McBean had a great idea. He said, I can put a star on your belly. I can stamp a star on your belly, and all you have to pay me is, I don't know what, $3, $4? And sure enough, all the Sneetches, I didn't even plan on sharing the story, but anyway, I'm into it now. All the Sneetches that didn't have stars went through this star punching machine, and sure enough, they came out with stars. And so when they all of the Sneetches had stars, they yelled to the Sneetches that already have the stars. They said, "We're exactly like you. You can't tell us apart. We're all just the same now, you snooty old smarties. And now we can go to your Frankfurter parties." Now, all the Sneetches that had the stars were appalled and bothered and annoyed that they had a private club. Now, everybody's in their club. All these other Sneetches didn't deserve to be in the club. And so, of course, Mr. McBean, you know, the entrepreneur that was really there to make some money, he said he went to the to the original Starbelly Sneezes and said, hey, guess what? I also have a machine that can take your stars off, and then you'll be back to being special. You know, of course, I'm paraphrasing. Am I taking too long with this story? I may be. Do you know what I'll do? I'll make you again the best sneakers on the beaches, and all it will cost you is $10 each. And so, of course, all the sneakers that have the stars went through the machine, and now they don't have any stars. The store, the moral of the story, is that this feeling special, feeling different, feeling better than, and I'm pointing my finger at myself. I'm not talking at you. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about myself. And I'm just sharing of thinking that I'm any different than anyone else. I don't. But what I do know is what I prioritize. And what I do prioritize is practicing this inner peace and practicing this contentment and making a commitment, an endless, endless commitment in needing the practice just as much as I need to breathe, needing to experience what moments I have left on this planet, vibrating this energy of contentment for me, little old me. It's the highest. It's the only. And let me just get back to the end of the Sneetus story. So what happened was, of course, the Sneetus without stars wanted to go back to the Sneetus with stars, and they kept putting stars on each other. You know, they kept stamping stars on, stars off. Until finally nobody recognized who was who. And they all spent their very last dollar. And what happened was, and I'm going to read what happened. And he said, you can't teach these sneakers. You can't teach them to learn anew. You can't teach them anything new. But Mr. Entrepreneur McBean, Sylvester McBean, was wrong. And I'm reading now. Mr. McBean was wrong, and I'm quite happy to say that the sneakers got really quite smart on that day. The day that they decided that sneakers are sneakers and no kind of sneak is the best on the beaches. That day, all the sneakers forgot about stars and whether they had one or not upon bars. The end. What's the point? How many stars, how many check marks, blue, gold, how many likes, how many follows, how many these numbers, how many attachments are there to these programs, to these artificial, to these, title, and I'm questioning myself. If I'm attached to something man-made, man-created, I already know I'm on the, it's just a matter of time before that vibration of discontent is going to happen. What about those people that lost their blue checks? I'm not saying to pretend that I know what's going to happen, but what about it? Was it a, who cares? So my point is to be very aware, self-aware, conscious of the attachments. And I talked about this a couple of shows ago, this attachment to a name, this attachment to an identity, this attachment to, let's see, hold on. Oh, here we go. As soon as you're born, you're given a name, a nationality, a religion, a race, and a culture. Then you spend the rest of your life identifying and defending that program. So my latest practice is I'm not identifying with anything a name. Oh, yes, of course, I have to. What's your name? I get it. But an identification with it, identifying with it, who am I? What am I? I'm conscious energy. I'm a spiritual being living, experiencing a human, in a human body. Period. I get it now. I get the people that, yeah, I'm stamping and changing their name to a number or something just as obscure. I could do that now. And boy, oh boy, did I get off on a tangent. But before I go into today's topic of what causes 98% of suffering, I'm going to ask you, what do you think? What do you think causes the suffering? And I'm talking about an individual. I'm not talking about global suffering. No, I'm talking about that person that's in the mirror, that person in the mirror. And before I go on, again, the number to call in to speak with me live is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. It doesn't matter to me. My motivation, I'm not going to say has never been, but I'll tell you right now, in this moment and in all my future moments, has nothing to do with making money. Has nothing to do with how many clients, how many, changing the world, inspiring the world, has nothing to do with that. My motivation is the inspiration just to share a different perspective with as many people that will listen, whether it's zero to a million. I remember when I first started this online reality, spirituality, the truth about happiness, probably almost 15 years now, and I've told the story before, so forgive me if you've heard it. I remember looking at the numbers and, oh, gosh, only three people are listening. Only sometimes zero people were listening. One person listened. Oh, universe. Oh, why aren't more people listening? Why aren't more people listening? And the universe responded to me and said, we're listening. Isn't that enough? So whether it's five people, whether it's three people, whether it's 3 million people, the number doesn't matter. Anytime, I'm only speaking for myself, anytime I attach a number to anything, you know what's going to be around the corner is a feeling, a vibration of anxiety. I need a certain amount, and I see that need a certain amount of likes. I need a certain amount of views. No, I don't. My ego does. And when I say ego, know that I'm very aware. It is an unconscious entity. And, in fact, that leads right into today's topic. What causes 98% of all suffering? And I'm speaking from my own perspective. I'm not talking about you. I'm not talking about the word. I'm talking about what I found with all the research, with all the 45 years of research. Let me ask you a question. Do you like suffering? That may sound like a crazy question, but do you like to suffer? And usually I get the hands up, no, of course not. No, I'm suffering. Who likes suffering? Well, if I share with you that all expectations, that practice or having an expectation, no, let me back up a little bit. If I share with you, you want to eliminate all your disappointments and all your heartbreaks for the rest of your life, you want to do that? You want to get rid of all heartbreaks and disappointments? Gone. Never again. Never have to experience that again. How many would raise their hands? No heartbreak, no disappointment. And of course, I get the pushback. Well, that's just normal. No, well, what it is a program, and it's a program to have expectations. All expectations. You want to eliminate expectations. There will be absolutely no disappointment and no heartbreak. Of course, I also hear that that's hard. Well, then have expectations. Practice having expectations. Not practice, but continue to have expectations. And along with expectations, which is a program behavior, you will have program responses. That's the really interesting thing about the program behaviors. And let me just start off with what I mean when I say program. It's whatever you learned as a child, whatever you learned before you realized that, oh, you're separate. Now, scratch that. After you learned that you're separate, you're a separate identity. After you detached, I'm separate. I'm a separate entity. The me, that one. And you started learning from parents, mom, dad, the world, the programs. So when I say happiness is a practice skill, the first part of the practice is to gradually eliminate, while practicing patience with self, all of the behaviors that have been proven to subtract from inner peace, contentment, and happiness. And I'm up to 50 now, 50 program behaviors. And one of the ones I added just last week, can't believe it's not even on the list, is that program that I lost something, the program of loss. And that goes for material things, and that also goes for a person, death, that program that I've lost something, which is a program. So with that program of loss comes a programmed reaction to loss. Let me get to today's topic. I think I've yapped enough. So when I ask you, do you like to suffer, any time that you are aware, conscious, especially practicing self-awareness, and you're conscious that you are held hostage by a program behavior, a program behavior and a program response. That's what we're talking about today. Question. I ask the question, what is the cause of 98% of suffering? You may not like this answer. I don't know if you will or you won't, but it's the stories, the program stories of why something is happening and or why something happened. And I know the world loves stories. Let me just share. This is personal. These stories are endless. I wake up, some people call them thoughts, stories, same thing. Endless, constant. I haven't been able to get to a place where my head is just empty, empty, and it's just. But what I have done is practiced, especially when those stories are, they're on a loop. They just keep going over and over. I call it you're vomiting, and then you eat the vomit. You vomit, and you eat the vomit. It's just a constant story. And it's usually a bad news story. It's usually an unwanted story. It's usually about something out there that's happening, that's causing my emotions, causing my feelings. You know those stories. Let me challenge you, and of course it's up to you, challenge you that, number one, to question the story. Question the truth behind, question, number one, question who is authoring these stories. Who is the author of the story? Question that. And can you separate, and can you witness the story as opposed to identifying with it. So for me, I'm just speaking of myself, the suffering comes from these stories and believing that these stories are true. And the author of these stories can only muster up one perspective. One perspective. One of the clues, one of the hints, one of the telltale signs is when you use the word because. I'm feeling like this because. Or my life looks like this, or my life is like this because. That because is a clue that you're all into this program story. Let me just get back to, I've got tons of them, and they're recycled. Recycled. Sometimes they have a familiar theme. But they're still recycled. If I sit in my rocking chair, yes, I have a rocking chair. Handmade rocking chair by the Amish. It's a beautiful chair, all walnut. Anyway, I digress. When I sit in that rocking chair, and I can sit in that rocking chair for hours, sometimes a story will pop up. You're not productive. You didn't do anything. You're not getting anything done. You know, the judgment about how I'm spending my time. That's those kind of stories. Wasting time, that's another story. That's another program story. All of it. Now, if somebody looks in the house and they just see me rocking in the rocking chair for hours, and sometimes, oh my goodness, am I going to admit this? Yes, sometimes I watch the sun go down from that rocking chair. I used to do it a lot. And, of course, the program story would come in about how bad I feel about myself. I could have written another chapter. I could have at least written two paragraphs. You know, I'm working on my second book, Program for Unhappiness. It's about 80% completed. Yeah, I would say 80. All of the stories come in about what I, and this should thing, this judgment about how I should spend my time. And who, what entity is on, what entity is behind that? So these, for me, the suffering comes from believing these stories. Let me just, and you know what, I'm not the only one that talks about this. In fact, if you haven't heard of Byron Katie, spelled B-Y-R-O-N, Katie, K-A-T-I-E, and I don't know how long she's been around. I would say at least, I don't know, I would just be guessing, 20 years? You can look her up. She calls her work the work, and she says, challenge your beliefs, which means challenge your thoughts, challenge the story. And she asks four questions. I believe there's another teacher out there. Now, that's totally different. That's called the Four Agreements. No, she says ask four questions. And the first question you ask, and the first question I ask myself when these stories are relentless, is this true? Is the story in my head, is the story true? Now, let me just be very clear. The ego, the unconscious ego, number one, the characteristics of the ego, number one is discontent. Discontentment. Is discontentment a word? Discontent. Never satisfied. And in fact, I would ask my ego, regardless of what I'm going through, and then the stories that keep going on, oh, this is wrong. This never should have happened. What a mess. And how is this serving me? I ask the ego. At first, I make a statement. I trust, I believe, I know without doubt that whatever I'm experiencing is there to serve me. Without doubt, without question, without trust. I mean, not trust. With trust. I've got too much evidence. to back that up. And so do you, my dear listener, and so do you. So I ask when those stories keep coming, and, you know, it's really a witnessing, the stories, it's witnessing. That's my practice, is to witness. And then I say, well, what's good about this? What's good about what I'm experiencing? What's good about it? And 10 times out of 10, the ego goes silent, missing in action. It's ghosted me. It can't be found. Ask yourself, what's good about what my ego says is bad? Find what's good about a situation that I'm in that my ego or whatever, critical mind, whatever you want to call it, you know what I'm talking about, that endless voice that says something is wrong. Something is wrong with this moment. This moment needs to be changed. This moment needs to be altered. This moment, nope, not good enough, not satisfied with this moment. I don't know about your ego, but my ego is dissatisfied 100% of the time. And then when I ask and I throw in it, and I throw in, hey, find what's good. Instant silence. Not even a bird beeping. Chirping. I was trying to do twerk and chirp at the same time. That's not a word. Well, it is now. back to the story. So I contend that the suffering is because of the story. And Katie also, number one, so you ask yourself, is it true? And then the second question, can you know absolutely for sure is it the truth? And the third question is, how do you feel, how do you react when you believe that your story is the truth? Is it light? Does it make you feel lighter or the opposite? Does it, you feel the difference between an ice cube and steam. Does it make you feel steamy or the opposite? And the last question that Byron Katie asked, what would you do? Who would you be without that story, without that thought? I'm going to throw in, thank you, Byron Katie, I'm going to throw in too, what would you do with your time? What would you do with your time if you're not engaged, focused on listening to, giving power to, giving time to these stories? And I'm talking about the feel-bad stories. You know the stories I'm talking about, those stories. What would you do with your time? Is it possible to have those stories cease, stop? I haven't found it yet. But what I do practice is separating myself from the story. It's just like watching a television show or a movie or theater, darling, or theater. You're the audience. You're an audience. You're not part of the drama. You're not part of the show. So my practice is to separate myself from the stories. And when I do practice that, and not only the stories, the judgments, attachments, the judgments, the labels. And when I do detach and witness, deeper breaths, slower, calmer energy, peaceful energy. And let me just back up just a little bit. I was talking to my son the other day, and, you know, number one commitment is peace. And I said, you know, I'm never without peace. I don't disconnect myself from peace. This is my perspective. I don't disconnect from peace. If I'm an ocean and I'm the ocean, and at the bottom of the ocean, it's all peaceful, it's all dark, it's peaceful. And then at the top of the ocean, of course, there's wind and storms and waves crashing back and forth. But I'm still connected to that peace. I'm still the ocean has many, many, many different energies at the same time, but it's still the ocean. So I'm never disconnected from the peace. And if I am, which I am, a spiritual being, a spiritual entity, conscious energy, having a human experience, what's at the core of conscious energy? What's at the core of a spiritual being? Peace. Now, let's talk about addictions. Because there is one of the things that I say, you know, we talk about the common addictions from alcohol, drugs, shopping, gambling, food, you know, how about the addictions that are not common or not talked about? How about the addictions, the addiction to being sad, the addiction to drama, the addiction to needing to be right, the addiction to sharing bad news, the addiction to judging others, the addiction to rigidity, the addiction to control, the addiction to anger. Yeah. And I'm saying all this, yeah, I have all of them. I'm recovering. The addiction to blaming anything external for how you're feeling. It's because of, just point the finger out. That's why I'm feeling like this, because that's another story. How about, and I've said this before, but I like repeating it, how about I'm just human and I'm just feeling, period. In this moment, I'm feeling. I'm not going to put a label on my feeling. I'm not going to put a judgment on my feeling. I'm human and I'm feeling. And there is an addiction to taking things personally. Uh-oh. There is an addiction. It's just another way to say addiction to blame. Blaming someone or something else. I'm just telling you, I've been doing the homework. I've been in the lab 45 years. The addiction to worrying. The addiction to fear. How about this one? The addiction to holding grudges. Oh, no. The addiction to holding grudges. You know that I was really good at that. Holding a grudge. The thing that you know that. Holding a grudge is another story. Because now you have the story behind how the grudge started in the first place. Because of somebody else's behavior. Because what somebody else did or somebody else said, and that's why you're holding a grudge. You're holding a grudge because you're programmed to hold a grudge. But the problem with that program of holding a grudge, you might as well just drink the poison. You might as well just take a big, talk about a smoothie. Make a smoothie of just poison. Make a poison smoothie. Drink that. What causes 98% of all suffering is believing these stories, these ego-authored stories. Giving the stories power, regurgitating the stories, telling the same stories over and over and over again. What would you do if you didn't have a story? And I'm talking about those stories from the past, the stories about the future, and sometimes those stories creep up in the present moment. It's not easy. I'm not pretending to say that this is an easy practice. Trust me, it's not. It comes with a lot of deprogramming. It comes with a lot of unlearning what I learned. A lot of unlearning what I learned. This program of loss, oh, that's a deep one. And if you listen, you know, the exercise classes, I'm not teaching well. I'm not teaching a couple of them that I used to. I lost those classes. I lost. You know the thing about practice? This doesn't happen overnight. Learning how to drive a stick shift, learning how to ride a two-wheel bicycle doesn't happen overnight. And it is a continual practice. That's why I say happiness, contentment, inner peace is a practice skill. It is a practice. So practice finding another perspective to all of the stories that you have told over and over and over again. Or not. Or not. But there is an addiction to telling stories, and I challenge you to find something good about those stories that have been labeled bad. I challenge you, if inner peace, contentment, happiness is the same vibration, don't get all mixed up with the words, it's the same vibration, is important. Is important to you. It's important. There is a limited amount of time that we have. Let me say this for me. There's a limited amount of time I have left. Limited amount of time. How do I want to spend it? The more content moments, the better. Let me just, there's a guest waiting. Oh, but patience. Hold on a second. Here we go. Yay. Coming up on 2, 1, blast off. Hey, Terry, thank you so much for your patience. You know, I just looked down. I'm up here, eyes closed, but thank you for your patience. What's up?
That's all right, Rebecca. You was in the flow, baby. Yeah, I'm nothing if not patient.
I like the baby part.
Yeah. Now, I did tend to overuse it, so I only bring it out on special occasions now.
I love it. You and Tom Brady. Go ahead.
Yes. Suffering. Now, I like the way you draw on your life experiences, because if you've been there, done that, bought the T-shirt, seen the movie, then, yeah, you can understand where you're coming from. And it reaches a point in life when you think, well, obviously what I've been doing hasn't been working. And, yeah. Now, I used to have grudges, Rebecca, in my early...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, oh, God, a man of... people I used to hold grudges against was unbelievable. You know? But then I realized, I didn't suddenly realize, it was a series of events over a few years that brought me to a level of understanding of, you know, what it's all about. You know?
Can you share specifics, please? That would really assist someone else can hear a different perspective. Would you like to specifically share?
Well, there were certain epiphany moments over a period of years it started in late 80s to through to the early to mid 90s. It was a constant learning curve, you know. And I had lots of those angsty nights, unable to sleep, staying up all night, chewing my nails, worrying about things that would never happen, and, replaying things people said to me, you know, over and over in my mind. And comes a point when you think, I've had enough of this. And it doesn't actually make you anxious anymore. You just, you have a coping mechanism, which is basically numbness. You are numb. It's I wouldn't say it's like a depressed state, but you're on autopilot through life, you know, and because you don't like being hurt or feeling anxiety or pain, you block it out. And but by the same token, you're blocking out the joy and happiness and enlightenment, you see. So it's like you're just on this, like, it's like flatlining. You know when you're on life support? Well, I've touch wood, I haven't been on life support, and I won't be in the near future. But, you know, envisage you on life support, you know, you're flatlining. That's the way some people cope with life. But they don't want to feel pain or anxiety. But then by making a decision, they're also not feeling joy and happiness. What do you think about that, Rebecca?
Well, you know, what I used to do but I don't do anymore is to look at what anybody else is doing and make and pretend that I know what or why. And I hear it, everything you're saying, and I respectfully, very humbly, I get it. But one of the things that I've stopped is, and it is a program of, it's called staying out of anybody else's business. That includes coming up with a conclusion about somebody else, coming up with a judgment about someone else, and coming up with a conclusion that what they're doing is not what's best for them. I know it sounds crazy, but one of the program behaviors is staying out of other people's business. That's the universe's business. That's God's business. It's not my business to either look and find fault with it. So that's one of the things I practice.
Can I come back up again?
Oh, yes, of course. Yes, you can.
I just want to expand on what I was saying.
Okay. I would love that. Just for clarity, because I would look at someone and I would know exactly what they needed to do and why they're doing it and what they need to change, blah, 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 and I had to let that go. That's being in someone else's business. But, yes, please come back up. Let me push you back up. How does this work? Guess waiting, bam. And I do that, click, and there you go. Ah, so technical. Yes.
Yeah, the one mistake I think that we need to realize as soon as possible in life is you can't change other people, you know. You have to accept them for what they are, and maybe you have to let them out of your life, you know.
Mm.
Rather than just be resentful and find fault with them and argue with them, just think, okay, this ain't working for me. You know, now, if you work with that person, it's a different story, but you can still deal with it in a diplomatic diplomatic, I'll use that word for a moment because I can't think of a better one. Anyway, I want to get back into what you were saying about suffering.
Yes, let me just say something because you started off, and just please forgive me because I got an ear for what's true and what's I got a whole vibration. My body chills up. So one of the things that you said we. One of the things that I really not try but practice, I never say we. I say I. Now, whether you want to say I'm a narcissist, but I say I, because I can only speak for myself. So you said we and I. I can only speak for myself. The second word you said was mistake. I do not believe in any, I don't even use that word. I do not use the word. There are no mistakes in nature. I totally get it. But are there mistakes? So those are two things that you said right off the bat, but bing, 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 bing. Anyway, go ahead.
No, you're 100% right, of course.
Oh, right again? Boy, I get so sick of being right. No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking.
No. Yeah. No, old habits die hard, Rebecca, and it happens to the best of us, you know. And, we can only speak for ourselves. This is why I don't like Twitter that much, you know. I did go back on it just for the sake of a few people I know on Wisdom, but, you get that on Twitter, I don't say I'm only speaking, this is my opinion, I'm speaking for myself, I say no, we don't like this, we don't like you, I get where you're coming from on that.
Mm-hmm.
But happiness, now, not is suffering, suffering, happiness, you know. Now, the reason I think I was unhappy.
There we go. Yay, standing ovation.
Yeah. The reason I was unhappy, because I was looking for reasons not to be happy, Rebecca. And I wasn't looking for reasons to be happy. Yeah?
What an interesting take. What an interesting conclusion. I'm getting chills on that one. Looking for reasons not to be happy. You know, that's another program that, I mean, wow, that was really deep what you said, looking for reasons not to be happy. In fact, I used to think that everybody is happy, yes, or everybody wants to be happy, until I was slapped in the face, hit with a baseball bat, back of my head. No, not everybody wants to be happy. In fact, this happiness, this lightness is painful. So I love that you touched on that. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah. Well, see, people are mesmerized by celebrities and celebrity culture. You know, look how happy they are. Look how successful they are. But they don't know what's going on behind the scenes, Rebecca, half the time, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Will Smith.
Yeah. My money doesn't buy happiness. But at least you could be miserable in comfort. How about that?
Well, the thing is that what I say is define success for you. And
for me, success has been contented and grateful for what I have.
There you go. Yes. In all moments.
Yeah. And I'm never bored, Rebecca. I hate every word. No, I mustn't use that word because I don't hate anything. I don't. It irks me when people say they're bored, you know, because how can you be bored?
Well, wait a minute. See, there you go again, talking about other people. Let them say they're bored and be okay with it. They're bored. They're bored. That's okay. They really are bored.
Yeah, but then they look for distractions, Rebecca.
That's okay. That's okay. Let them look for distractions. Let them be bored. Let them do all of it. See, there's a lot of judging what other people do. And you know I love you. Hold on a second. What is this? You know I love you. Okay, hold on. Let me do this one. Click. You know I love you. So, but let these people be bored. Let these people say what they want to say. And if they're bored, yeah. Okay, and guest waiting. And who is here today? Uh-oh, what happened? The guest has left talk. Choose another guest. Let's see, how do I do this? Let me click it one more time. Oh, where's my producer? Oh, where's my engineer? Oh, where's the help? Let's see if that worked. Oh, okay, that's the second time I got that response. So I will just, so that they must be gone. Okay, in closing, in conclusion, my dear audience from Wisdom, my dear audience from Blog Talk Radio, my dear audience from wherever this is streaming, this judgment of others and noticing, and I'm only saying this, are you kidding me? I could judge. Oh, my goodness, I was a champion. Super Bowl, gold medal, judger. Oh, my goodness. And all of that judgment, what I discovered, all of that judgment ends, judging other people ends when I stop practice, because I'm still practicing, when I practice eliminating judgment of self. Judgment ends of others when I practice and I eliminate self-judgment. So if I'm judging someone else, I know I'm really judging myself. I don't want to do that. And so what's the practice? Let me just say, I'm not doing this by myself. Let me just give you a quick example exercise of what I do. Very simple. Hands up, go outside, hands up, palms up. Hey, universe, God, spirit, higher power, whatever you want to call it, higher self, whatever, the words. How do I let go of judgment? How do I let go of self-judgment? I always like to ask the how do I questions. How do I let go of judgment? Throw it out there, and guess what? Let it go. You know what you, when you ask, you will receive an answer. Let's see. Uh-oh, another guest waiting. Okay, let me do this. Hold on. Let's see. Truly Julie. What a cute little name. Truly Julie. Rhyming. Truly Julie. All right, 3, 2, 1, Truly Julie. Julie, yay! Hi, Truly Julie.
Just I was just listening to you a second ago, but I've got a couple of things that I'd like to sort of put out there. The first is addressing what you were saying a moment ago about that judgment thing. I think the thing is we only judge ourselves and others by our own measuring stick. So it's kind of good to notice the measuring stick that you're holding, really, because it can be totally out of whack, if you know what I mean.
Well, I do know what you mean, and the reason, and the whole judgment comes from being programmed to judge. We were not.
Yeah.
Keep going. Yeah. I love it. Truly, Julie.
This is like this exercise that you're discussing. Really, has been something that's been in my mind for a good year. Because I would say that from this is where my misery lies. When I start to when I start to self-doubt myself or measure my success or measure my popularity or lack of popularity to measure what I own, is it good enough? Or, you know, measuring what people will say to me, how people will behave, how the situation is, if there's an experience I'm having, I'm measuring that. And I had to learn, just like you said, to just throw that measuring stick as far away as possible and just go into each experience and meet each new person. Just fresh as in how a child meets things, how a child sees people, how a child meets experience. They're so fresh, you know, and therefore they kind of get the best out of it. It's always an uplifter if you watch any kid, and especially when they're trying to show you something that they've just grasped an idea of. They're so full of joy, you know, because of it. It's like, look, this is this, and that's that, and wow, everything is so amazing. And when they feel sad, they really feel sad. They really do enjoy that feeling. When they're angry, they express that so well, because there is no measuring. There is no, I better not do that because I'm concerned about what someone else might think. So they're not even thinking outside, coming back. They are perfectly going, just viewing life from their own perspectives, their own, not even a perspective, because they don't even have that. They just view it fresh.
You know, what you're saying is, you know, and my body was getting all chilled up, and what you're talking about is before the programming, period.
Yeah.
I witnessed this one. I was in the airport last summer, and I witnessed this little boy, and they had one of these and I would like you to come up if you have time, if you want to come back up. And I was witnessing this young boy. He had to be 8 years old, and he was jumping around. You know, you turn this crank, and this figure just moves. The arms move, the legs are moving, and he's looking at it, and he's jumping up and down. He could care less if anybody's looking at him. He's having a great moment, and that's just before the programming. So it all comes back to program for unhappiness, program for discontent, program for to judge, program to put a this is what I wanted to share with you.
Yeah, I'd say the same as well, and it really takes some observation of it. It's the first step, really, is observing it, observing that programming in your world, in the way you speak, in the way that you hold your body, in the way you interact with people, the way you interact with experiences. It's observing that and saying, there's more ways than this way. And there's some ways I don't even know about yet.
That's right. Let me say this to you. Let me say this to you because I'm inspired to really say this. And someone told me this a long time ago, and I felt felt uncomfortable at first hearing it. It just bothered me. It was, whatever you do, whatever you say, hold on a second, whatever you do, whatever you say, how you say it, when you say it, why you say it, you get an A+. You get an A+. And at first, I was thinking, how can I get an A+ for everything I say, everything I do, even with "quote unquote" bad intentions? Give yourself an A+. The sun shines on the serial killer and the Pope. Give yourself an A+. That's another program to be critical of self.
Yeah, yeah, it is, and I agree with you 100% on that. Is when you are doing you. That's the best role you can play. All the rest don't matter. All the rest are what you are told to do. So you're told to be, say in my case, for instance, I'm told to be a mother. I'm told what a good mother is and what a bad mother is. I'm not given the grays, the creamy whites, the other scales along that line. This is what I'm told. I'm told to be a sister, a wife, a worker. I'm told all the time all of these roles to play, so much so that I forget who I am. I forget that.
Mm.
And sometimes in a quiet moment, I get this inkling of me. And that is who I should always be. First. And when I can do that, then I get the A star. Then I get the A star. No matter what I do, if I'm being me, I get the A star. And we all have, you know, we are all in this experience together, and we do have our various uniqueness. And that might not always be what people, you know, what society, whatever, says is right. And then we have to punish ourselves if we slightly outstep that. And the experience I've had of people, some really close to me, where they have felt the pressure of this measuring stick, so much so that they can't function comfortably being themselves. And that is a massive shame. That causes them, and it has caused them, immense suffering.
Let me say this again, because I said it with my other gentleman, and again, noticing what anyone else is saying or how they're doing and shame, I wouldn't say any of that. I wouldn't say any of it, because that is their journey, and their journey is in order. So me standing out and saying that is a shame is another program. And I get what you're saying. You know I love you. I get what you're saying. But be mindful of the programs. That is really the cause. So there
the
is nothing
is with the programs, not me.
Well, let me say this. One of the things about these labels, mother, daughter, coworker, friend, all of these labels is another program, because all labels come with expectations of behavior. Program expectations of behavior. And so I don't use labels, because that was, talk about a label that I use for my...
I don't either.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a conversation I had with my daughter on Mother's Day.
Okay.
But it's not this year, it's last year. They gathered us all up together, the son and the daughter, and decided they were going to put on a Mother's Day lunch at a pub. And nothing could make me feel more uncomfortable. So when I turned up, I said to her, first off, I am Julie, the adventurer. Then I might contemplate being and waving my fingers in the air, your mother. And that's what I said.
So I have a question. I have a question. So if that would felt uncomfortable, why did you agree to go?
Because my daughter had come a long way, and it was her soul that I wanted to see, not the fact that she is my daughter, but I enjoy the essence of her soul. That's why I went.
Okay, that's why you went. However, you said that, but now you, okay. Anyway, I understand what you're saying. So, see, it always comes back to us. It always comes back to us, the individual. And here we go. This is another program. Having an agenda with someone, whether you want to teach them, whether you want to uplift them, whether you want to show, whatever that agenda is, that's another program. And it always subtracts from inner peace. It always subtracts from contentment. And it never feels good. And I'm speaking from personal experience. I have an agenda. I used to have an agenda with my son. I had an agenda that I wanted to teach him. And you know what I had to learn the hard way? Unless this kid is asking me a question, he doesn't need my comment, commentary, information, even if it would change his life. No, that's a really bad joke. No. So having an agenda with someone. So if I know that I am not going to want to or be comfortable around or not inspired to, I don't even have to give a story. I'm just not inspired to attend. I'm not inspired. Then that's on me, but this work, when I say happiness is a practice skill, it is ongoing. Okay, let's see. What do I have here? Another person that wants to come up. Hold on. How do I do this? Okay, let's see. Oh, that's my Truly Julie. Okay, Truly Julie. Uno mas.
Well, all I've got to say is I love that you make me think. I love what you're saying, because it continually allows me to view, because I hadn't even thought about that, at the agenda thing. Oh. But of course there is always, when you go somewhere for a meeting that you don't want to go to, an agenda. And that one was to say to my daughter at the time, I'm not just your mother, you know.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm getting chills.
I absolutely need to do it.
Your ego needed to do it. I'm getting so many chills with you. I mean, my body chills up when I connect with someone that is speaking universal truth. My body just chills up. And just the fact that you said you had an agenda, because, listen, I've had to look myself in the mirror just a couple. Oh, I'll share an agenda I just had 2 days ago. I'm going to FedEx. This is anyway, it doesn't matter, big or small. There's no big or small in the universe. Going to FedEx, and there's this one gentleman who is sharp, quick. You walk in, you walk out, all business, thank you, no conversation, thank you. And then I went in the afternoon, and there's another lady there. She's slow. She's not as efficient. She, you know, all the opposite of my ego would prefer. So when I went in again, and, of course, I get the guy that I like because he's quick and efficient, I say to him, here's my agenda. I say, that lady that you have in the afternoon covering the evening shift, I said, yikes. Trying to keep it light, trying to keep it funny, blah, blah, blah. But I had an agenda. And my agenda was for him to agree that, yes, she's slow. Yes, she's not like me. All I had an agenda. And it's just like feeling a pea under the mattress. I don't care if the mattress is, you know, 30 mattresses.
Yeah.
I can feel that pea. And so there's just another practice of letting go of the agenda. It never works out.
I love you so much. I'm so glad that I've popped on and I've listened to you because you've given me so much more to think about. It's just smashing. So I'm going to celebrate the fact that you're alive, actually.
I love you truly, Julie. And you know, one of my biggest, if you say compliment, it's not about, yeah, I agree with you, Rebecca. Rebecca, now I have another perspective or something else to think about.
I've got something else to think about. Something new has just been pointed out to me. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. It's hard work for me sometimes. I'm not going to say it's not. But it's really good that when you can have a conversation with someone called Rebecca, it's kind of like just shine a light in the little corners that you might have missed in your way of trying to become kind of a happier human being. That's all I want at the end of the day. And you shone a little bit there that gives me some more to think about. And that's just brilliant for me. Thank you very, very much.
Well,
I've got to say.
Yeah, well, you're more than welcome. And you know, the other thing I want to say to everyone too is lighten up. Lighten up on this journey.
Yes.
One of the you know, to-do lists, why don't you put laughing on your to-do list? Why don't you put laughing, dancing, or singing on your to-do list?
Humor. Humor is brilliant. If you're having a bit of an issue and you find it a bit of a struggle, just have a little laugh at yourself.
Yes.
Just have a little giggle at the situation. See it from a funny point of view because, man, that is so soothing. I do it regularly.
Yes, I do too. And I highly recommend that to Steve Harvey on Family Feud. Woo!
Oh, man, have a laugh. It's good for you. Releases all the right chemicals anyway.
Mm-hmm,
so there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm going to let you go. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. And thank you so much for being so honest and open and sharing. You know, all of us, it's the same.
It's the only way I can give is by being totally open. It's the only way that I can function, really, in a way. Because then if I want to work on myself and I'm presenting myself in a false sort of way, I can't do the work. But when I just come up and I'm open and I receive, you know, some good information there for me as well, then I can work on it. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you so much. You know, what a way to end what a great way to end the show today. I just want to recap all of this human suffering, individual suffering, comes from those stories and the unrelenting stories, the critical stories about self, about other people. Feeling, having a vibration of contentment, having a vibration of inner peace, being happy, it's the same thing, people. These words, don't get caught up on the words. Notice the energy. Notice the energy. Notice the vibration. And I'm here to say this. You want to contribute to the world? You want to serve the world? Shift your energy. That's it. You don't even have to leave the house. Shift your energy. Open. Shoulders down. Be the example. Yeah, I know this. Thanks a lot, Michael Jackson. I'm looking for the man in the mirror. I'm looking to change your ways. Yes, change the person in the mirror. Or not. But you don't even have to leave the house. And let go of these people and what they're doing and why they're doing it and judging them. Let them go. Unless you're addicted to noticing what someone else is doing and making a judgment about it. Anywho, wow. You know, I'm gonna end with this. I started last week's show, but I just wanted to end with this. Where's my, here it is. Okay. You know, you want to know what really bothers my ego, and I say my ego because in reality, I know my identity. I know my true identity, and it's always peace. It's conscious, peaceful energy. That's who I really am in a human body. So this human me, because I know the difference, the human me is reading posts and listening to people who believe, here we go, so put your seatbelts on for this one. Please put your seatbelts on. Woo-wee. I get a lot of pushback. That's okay. Listening to people who believe that they are responsible for something blocking their manifestations, blocking self-sabotage. I'm doing something to block. Okay, attention, people, attention. There is nothing blocking what the masses label when they use the word abundance. What a great buzzword, abundance. And rest assured, there's no such thing as self-sabotage interfering with your destiny either. Not fear, not worry, not lack of trust, not self-doubt, low self-esteem has the power to block what's destined for you to experience. All of the aforementioned are programs, hint. If you weren't born with it, you know it's a learned program. That goes for worry, lack of trust, self-doubt, all of it. Relax. Thank you, Aaron Rodgers. R-E-L-A-X. Nothing you do, say, or feel like is stopping anything from happening during this limited amount of time, during this limited amount of time we all have on this planet. The universe, God, source, the divine spirit, higher power, choose your favorite label, is all-powerful. So it's impossible for a human to interfere with the plan of the divine. It's impossible. If something hasn't manifested yet, it's only because it's not time for it to manifest, or the manifestation isn't part of the plan. That's it. If something hasn't manifested, it's only because it's not time or the manifestation isn't part of the divine plan that the divine has for you. Happiness, inner peace, and contentment are all practice skills. I'm going to leave you with that one. Well, that's the end of today's show. Thank you for listening to Reality Spirituality. Reality Spirituality Radio is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington, LinkedIn. My Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. I do have a few videos on YouTube. I know everything is going to be updated soon. Do I know when? No, I don't. Do I practice patience? Yes, I do. Is it difficult? Of course. It's really, really difficult. But contentment is my number one priority. My website is RebeccaNorrington.com, and my first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be purchased on Amazon, and I wrote a chapter in the book I read, which was released last March, and that's just about, it was just about an author that has really, really influenced me, who happens to be Dr. David Hawkins. I would say he's number one, even though you can't say number one, but they're top five. How's that? The book that I'm writing now called Program for Unhappiness is going to be published sometime this year. And until next week, my dear audience, I want you to remember who the hell you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. Your conscious energy, which is always evolving, always changing, always growing. Love is patient, and love is kind. Be kind to yourself by accepting every moment that you experience. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. This is about the journey. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality Radio with yours truly, Global Happiness Specialist, Rebecca L. Norrington. And remember, happiness is a practice skill. And I promise you, the more you practice, the more peace you will find. The more you practice putting a spotlight and eliminating those programmed behaviors, the more contentment you will experience. And your experience in every moment reflects on what you practice. Have a conscious week. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, oh, it's time to be real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Get real,
yeah, time to get down,
right?